Parshas Yisrael, Ruchim Aboyim. Everybody would like to discuss the Ezes Hashem, what is obviously the dominant theme in this week's parasha, and that is, of course, Matan Torah. I'd like to share with you what I think is a relatively well-known principle, a very important principle, but we will see tonight that Ezes Hashem, there is a very important addition, or even maybe that slight deviation. We will see. Let's begin with the pasuk in Perek Yutzes, where it says in Parashas Yisro, "Umoisha Ola El HaElokim," and Moshe Rabbeinu ascended up to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So there is a fascinating medrash on those words. This medrash actually appears in Parashas Truma. And the Medrash points out that over here you have Moshe Rabbeinu, as it were, making his way towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kaviyachol stationary, and Moshe Rabbeinu Olam El Ho'elikim. Contrast that, says the Medrash, with what it says in Parashas Truma, build the Beit HaMikdash, v'shochanti v'stoichom. Here, all of a sudden, Klal Yisrael are not making their way towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachol, is making his way towards us. V'shochanti v'seichom. And the Medrash says the difference is, one is prior to Matan Torah, and one is post-Matan Torah. Prior to Matan Torah, the traffic is going in an upwardly direction. Moshe Olam El Ho'elokim. Post Matan Torah, it seems to be that the role reversal. The Shochanti V'Soicham HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol joins Klal Yisrael. He descends in our direction instead of us ascending in his direction. That seems to be the contrast, with a distinction, as pointed out by the Medrash, being one is prior to Matan Torah and one is post Matan Torah. So how are we to understand this? What does this mean, Moshe Rabbeinu rising up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu descending to Klal Yisrael, and for some reason that depending on whether we are before or after Matan Torah? So I saw an explanation in the name of Rav Shach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and Rav Shach bases his explanation on a famous Gemara, where the Gemara tells us, in the middle of Chulin, Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara tells us a story. Rav Pinchas ben Yoeh was on his way to going to perform a mitzvah of Pidyon Shavuot. And on his journey, he comes across a river, and he needs to cross that river in order to perform the mitzvah. And he instructs the river to split, so that he is able to pass through the river. And the river says, why should I split? It's true you are doing mitzvah, which is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do. I'm also doing exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created me as a river, a flowing single body of water. Everybody again, just please be muted. The river is flowing. I'm doing exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do. Why are you any better than me? Why should I have to change? Why should I split? Not only that, says the river to Rav Pinchas ben Yoeh, if I continue flowing, I am doing absolutely, with certainty, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do. You, however, who are on the way to try and rescue somebody from jail, you don't know if you'll be successful. So I am a Vadai, and you are a Topic. So why on earth should I have to succumb to you? So the Rav Pinchas ben Yoeh, instead of answering the question, just says to the river, Goydrani Olecho, I hereby declare upon you that if you do not split, You will never have water running through your river ever again, upon which the river split. That's not the end of the story. The Gemara then continues, and there was somebody else there who needed to collect some wheat for matzah baking for Pesach, and the Pinchas ben Yoreh once again instructs the river, split. He's on his way to do a mitzvah. And for the second time, the river split. And then, a third time, there was an Arab accompanying the aforementioned person, and the Pinchas ben Yoreh once again says, listen, he's accompanying an Oisei mitzvah, split. And the river, for the third time, split. Upon which, Rabbi Yossi makes the following declaration, observation, and he says, Kamo nofish gabra, how great they are, it seems to be greater than Moshe Rabbeinu and 600,000 people. They only had the Yam Suf split for them once. The Pinchas ben Yoreh managed to do it three times. End of story. What does this mean? How are we possibly able to understand how can anybody be considered greater than Moshe Rabbeinu? The Pinchas ben Yoreh and Tana as Godel and as Kodesh and as great as he indeed was, how can the Gemara possibly say that greater than Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu split the sea once. Pinchas ben Yoreh, Pinchas ben Yoreh did it three times. What does that mean? Said Rav Shach, and this is the principle, and with this he explains the Medrash that we began with. Prior to Matan Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world in which there exists the force of nature. There are Chukei HaTeva, the laws of nature. The laws of nature dictate that if you have a flowing body of water, it does not split at will. That is a law of nature. In order to get it to split, you will have to perform what we call a nace, because a nace transcends the laws of nature. But that's all prior to Matan Torah. Post Matan Torah, there was an enormous change in the running of the world, and that is, instead of the laws of nature overriding everyone and everything, all of a sudden, the laws of the Torah override nature. And therefore, if there is a challenge between the Koyach of Torah and the Koyach of Teva, then the Koyach of Torah will win. In fact, that is the Teva of Torah. That was only introduced at Matan Torah. And Rav Shach says, that's what the original Medrash that we quoted means. Initially, Moshe Rabbeinu has to ascend towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are not the Bailim. We are the guests. So we have to make our way towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once it came to the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, which was after Matan Torah, then, as it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has handed us the keys. We are now the Bailim of the Bria, such that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, makes his way in our direction, the Shokhamti B'Seichel. That's how Rav Shach explains the most magnificent pshat in that Medrash. Initially, Moshe Rabbeinu must rise up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's prior to Matan Torah. Post Matan Torah, it all changes. We are now the Bailim over the Bria. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes his way to us. That, says Rav Shach, is what the Gemara means. Moshe Rabbeinu, in order to split the sea, this was prior to Matan Torah. He did not have the Koyach of Torah to transcend Teva. Parashat Bashalach, last week's parashat, was before Matan Torah. So it needed a miracle. It needed a miracle in the Zechus of Moshe Rabbeinu and 600,000 people, and was only done once. Rav Pinchas ben Yair, who has the Koyach of Torah, can, as it were, split the sea, the river, at will, because he has the koyach of Torah. And Torah supersedes nature, not the other way around. This Yisoid of Rashach, as mentioned, I think is a famous Yisoid. In fact, we have mentioned this on previous occasions. The Ohr HaChaim HaKadosh famously writes exactly that in Parashas B'Shalach. When talking about Matan Torah, when talking about the Kriyat Yam Suf, he explains and he says his famous words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu stipulated when creating the world that all of Maisa Bereshit has to be Kefufim L'Torah V'Amomeho. It has to be kofu, has to be subjugated to those who are loyim de Torah, and in particular those who are omol b'Torah. That is a tenai that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made in the Bria. And therefore he explains, indeed, Moshe Rabbeinu's nace of splitting the sea is considered to be a tremendous miracle, because the tenai that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes, which is that the koyach of Torah can transcend teva, that hasn't yet been evoked, because we are still prior to Matan Torah. That's why it's considered to be a tremendous miracle. This week, one of the Gedolei Yisrael, in fact, too, but the Tzareinu Arav, two great Gedolei Yisrael passed away. One of them, Rav Yitzchok Shtein, Zeicho Tzadik Livracha, the Kamenetz Yitzchok Shiva, and also the Rosh Hashiva, Rav David Soloveitchik, Zeicho Tzadik Livracha. So I think it's appropriate to quote something in their name. So I saw, in the name of Rav David Soloveitchik, Zeicho Tzadik Livracha, the last remaining son he was of the great Rizkirov, Zeicho Tzadik Livracha. And he says that he was once asked about the story mentioned in the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that there was somebody, the way it's described in the Gemara, Maisa Be'echot. There was a story with somebody. The name is not mentioned. It says that his wife passed away and he had a young child who at the time was nursing. There was nobody to nurse the child, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed the nace that his guf changed and he was able to nurse the child. To which the Gemara comments, Omale Abaya, Kamo Garua, Odom Zeh, how bad this is, Shenishtanu Loi Sidrei Bereshis, that the rules of nature had to change for him. He is a male, unable to nurse the child. The laws of nature were switched such that he was able to, and that is considered Kamoh Gorua. So the Rosh Hashiva was asked, how come we don't find that on other occasions when Nisim are mentioned all over Shas, this Tana, this Amora did this miracle and that miracle, we don't find anybody commenting Kamoh Gorua? To the contrary, it seems to be always presented in very complimentary form. This Tana produced this miracle, that miracle. Why all of a sudden with that particular story are the Chazal very critical of the fact that Shenishtanu Lei Sidrei Bereshit? And so he says, because it depends who you're dealing with. That particular person was whom? We don't know. It says, Meister Be'echot. Somebody. If it would have been somebody great, then safe to assume we would have been told who it was. So if it was just a somebody, not necessarily a Talmud Chacham, he doesn't have that koyach of Torah to govern nature. And the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore has to alter the rules of nature for him is not considered to be complementary, to the contrary. Whereas all the Tanoim and Amoraim and Shas, they produced the miracle, but they did so with their Koyach of Torah. So therefore, you cannot say kamo garua, how bad that is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed the rules of nature, because as we mentioned, that now becomes nature. The nature of the world is that the koyach of Torah overrides the forces of nature. And that's only indeed if you have this koyach of Torah. So this is the biggest story, which as I mentioned, I think is well known. The Chovas HaLevavos writes it as well, and he says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he created the world as an eved. The world is an eved to his master. And who is that master? Says the Chovas HaLevavos, the master is the Torah. Just as the eved must submit his will to the will of the master, so too the world and the force of nature must submit its will to the force and the koyach of Torah. But as mentioned, that only post Matan Torah, and that only refers in particular to those indeed who are G'dayli Torah. I believe that's a well-known principle. In fact, many years ago, I once discussed this in the Shir, and I mentioned then that it is well-known that on one occasion, the great Rameyev Simcha of Dvinsk, the river was threatening to flood his town in Dvinsk, and it is well known, and the way I heard the story, there were hundreds of Edei Re'ia, those who actually saw it happening, that Rameyev Simcha, in front of many, many people, went down towards the river, which was threatening to burst its banks and flood Dvinsk, and he instructed in a loud voice, "I hereby instruct the river to recede and not to flood the Dvinsk." And there seemed to be no change. Upon which, for the second time, Rav Meir Simcha then said, "I, Meir Simcha HaKoyen of Dvinsk, with my Koyach of Torah, hereby instruct the river to recede," upon which it did immediately. And I remember when I mentioned this in the Shir, one of the members of the Shir there got very excited, and he told me that, yes, he knows about this story because he heard it from his grandmother who was there at the time. She was there at the time. So this is what Rav Meir Simcha was teaching us and putting into practice. Rav Meir Simcha came from the Vince with his Koyach of Torah, with a Meshech Chochma, with the Chidushei Rav Meir Simcha Lashat, with the Or Sameach al Rambam, that was his koyach to govern nature. And that is a tenai that HaKadosh Baruch Hu inculcated in the Bria right from the outset. It only took effect from Matan Torah and onwards, and in particular, only with G'dayli Torah. Having said all of that, I saw this week for the first time a slight variation of this principle. Maybe it's even a sphera, but either way, the principle is true, MS Beyatik. But I saw in the name of the Leshem. The Leshem, Kiyodua, was a great Kabbalist, the grandfather of Rabbi Yosef, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And I saw quoted in the name of the Leshem the following question. We know that Chazal and the Novi make a big fuss and celebration, as it were, for example, of the fact that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were thrown into the fire and miraculously they were saved. Avraham Avinu, Ba'ur Kastim, although it's not mentioned in the Torah, but it's alluded to and it's clearly mentioned in Chazal, was thrown into the fire, miraculously saved. Says the Leshem, "I don't understand why the fuss. Hare it's the Mufurash Gemara. There's a Gemara in Ksubas with Ma'ukba, him and his wife. On one occasion, they wanted a hide, they were giving stocker, they didn't want anybody to know it was them. So they jumped into the fire, and they were spared, and nothing happened to them. Seems to be a very innocuously mentioned story. No great fuss made. Why is that?" Similarly, for example, Doniel, as we know, was thrown into the den of lions and is saved. says the Leshem, I don't understand. What's the big fuss? There's a Gemara in Brachas, there's a Chanina that Daisa once also got involved with a snake, and the snake could not bite him. So he was also saying, doesn't seem to be the same fuss made. So the Leshem once again introduces us to the principle that we've mentioned until now, but with a variation. And he says, indeed the Koyach of Torah can be shoylet on the Bria. It governs, it transcends the laws of nature. But when did that happen? So until now, as we mentioned, in the opinion of the Shach, that seems to be the way Yerachayim HaKadosh learned. That all happened from Matan Torah and onwards. The Leshem, who agrees with the principle, seems to differ slightly, and he says, when was this principle evoked? At the time of Bayit Sheni. Bayit Sheni, we know, is the time when there was enormous proliferation of Torah Shabba Al Peh. Until then, the Torah that we had was the Torah Shebichtav. Then, the Tanoim and the Amoraim, towards the end of Bayit Sheni, following the Kolos in particular, that's when there was, as it were, an explosion of Torah Shebaal Peh. Says the Leshem, until that point, there were the laws of nature. And it was only, as he writes, Yechidei Sgulos, one or two, here and there, who were able to overturn the laws of nature, and that's why a tremendous fuss is made when that happens. Following, however, Bayit Sheni, when the Koyach of Torah was really introduced into the world, the Koyach to be moistened, as it were, onto the Torah, to be Mechadesh Chidushei Torah, that the Koyach that did not hitherto exist, the Tanoim and the Amoraim, the Chidushim and the Pilpulim of Torah, it was that Koyach of Torah that allowed the laws of nature to be overturned. And therefore, indeed, the Nisim that are mentioned in the Gemara, but not made such a fuss of, the reason is because they are dealing with the Amoraim who live post Bayit Sheni. And he gives an example. We all know the story. Eliyahu HaNavi was Machaye Mason. In Melachim Perek Aleph, we know the young child of the Almana passes away. And the Navi there describes in great detail how exactly did he bring him back to life. Says he lay on him three times, our whole procedure, until eventually he was brought back to life. So too with his Talmid Elisha, also the young child was passed away, and Elisha lies down, piv al piv, einov al einov, our whole procedure, and then, and only then, brings him back to life. And yet, as the Leshem points out, we have plenty of Gemaras, we quote the Gemara in Bava Kama, the Gemara in Megillah, when Amoraim were Machayim Mesis. It doesn't say anything there that they had to lie down, and they had to put al pen, ayin al ayin. Seems to be, in an instant, they were able to do so. And the answer is, as the Leshem explains, that's true. Because these Amoraim lived post-Bayit Sheni. Post-Bayit Sheni, where there was this enormous proliferation of Torah Shebaal Peh, that enormous koyach of Torah in the world, which began to exist then and only then, that's what allowed Teva to be overturned. Such that Amoraim could actually be Machayei Mesim more easily, quite staggering to believe, more easily than Nevi'im. And that's why in the case of Eliyahu HaNavi and Elisha, it needed a whole performance and procedure. In the case of Amoraim, it didn't need that. In similar vein, listen to the most wonderful interpretation of the Nesiv in this week's parasha. In this week's parasha, as we know, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Torah writes, Vayehi Koil HaShofa Hoylech V'Chozek Mo'oy. The Koil of the Shofa was very powerful, but as we know, Chazal teach us, not only was it powerful, unlike in ordinary circumstances when you blow the Shofa, it is Hoychez V'Hoylech. One initially blows with great force, but naturally that tone emitted from the shofar eventually gets weaker. Not so, say Chazal, with regard to the shofar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew on Sinai, it continued in fact to become stronger and stronger. Instead of weakening, it became strengthened. There's the Nesiv, a phenomenal interpretation. Do you know what this signals? This was a remnant to the fact that so too Torah also does not weaken. To the contrary, Torah only grows and becomes strengthened as each day passes, and more so. On the Har Sinai, Chazal the Torah writes, it was given me Torah Osho, the smoke and the fire. Says in a sieve, this is the smoke and the fire of God. When Torah Shabbat Peh does not get weakened, to the contrary, it becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. As the Mephoroshim explained, the bracha that we say, Asher, Nota, Nota b'lusay cheinu, Nota is a growth, a plantation. Just as you plant one solitary seed and it can produce Peiros ad ein soif, so too the Torah is an atia. It's a sapling. It's a plantation, Asher Nota b'Seichenu, which grows and grows and grows. And that, says in a sieve, is what happened to Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh is still being written until this very day and will be continued to be written in the later Hasdokhim. So it seems to be, in conclusion, that we have a principle that everybody agrees on, that the Koyach of Torah overrides the laws of nature. And that's what that initial medrash meant, that Moshe Rabbeinu rose up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And after that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol descends towards us, towards Klal Yisrael. We become, as it were, the Bayim over the Brilliant. There seems, however, to be a slight, perhaps, difference in opinion. The opinion of the Yair HaChaim HaKadosh, that all took effect at the time of Matan Torah. According to the Leshem, that in particular took effect at the time of Torah Shebaal Peh. And as the Sif pointed out, Torah Shebaal Peh, the Koyach of Torah Shebaal Peh, which was initially introduced at the time of Bayis Sheni, is not in any way diminishing or weakening. To the contrary, it is only getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And that, in the opinion of the Leshem, is how we explain all the nisim mentioned in the Gemara. They don't seem to make such a fuss about it, because that is the Koyach of Torah. As the Nesiv points out, through the Oshon, through the Esh, even in the Golos, it's the Koyach of Torah which is being strengthened, and which in fact is holding us tight in the Golos. Let me just finish off with a most remarkable story with an even more remarkable interpretation. I saw recorded that we know there were the gzeirois that are commonly called the gzeirois of Tach the Tat. About 300 or 400 years ago in Europe, there were terrible pogroms, mass murder of thousands of Klal Yisrael. One of the Gzeilei Yisrael, the Shamshon Astropoli, got hold of the Sitra Achra. However, we have to understand that, the Koyach of the Malach HaMoves. And he said to him, why is it that you've gone on this rampage against Klal Yisrael more than any other nation? And the Sitra Achra said, if you stop Shabbos, if you stop Bris Milah, and you stop learning Torah, then so too I will also stop this rampage. To which Rav Shamsha Mastropolia said, Torah will never, ever be misbattled. We will never stop learning Torah. But that's not the end of the story. Rav Shamsham Astropola then performed what's called a She'ela Chaloyim. In a dream, he asked for a Gimui to explain what can possibly be done to end the terrible murderous gezeiros of Tat V'Tat. And the answer that he was given in HaShomayim, unbelievably, is that if two of the greatest of Klal Yisrael are willing to die, be moisa nefesh for the sake of Klal Yisrael, die young, then indeed the gezeira will be misbattled, like we see the Kroivai and Kodesh, when the two great tzaddikim are nifta, Misa tzaddikim is machapik. Rav Shimshon Astropolia, having received this news, immediately said he's willing to be one of the volunteers. He now needs one more. Which God will be Israel can he find who's willing to die young, as it were, as a korban tzibur? Misa tzaddikim machatzeh. So he approached the great Shach, not to be confused with Rav Shach. The Shach is perished on the Shach, as we know, on the Shulchan Aruch. And he approached the Shach, and he told him this gilui that he was revealed to in a dream. Two tzaddikim need to give their life up early, and then the gezeira will be misbattled. He says, I'm volunteering, would you do the same? He said, I need a day or two to think about it. He came back a couple of days later and he said, yes, I agree. However, I have one request. I'm willing to give up my life, young, for the sake of Klal Yisrael, but I need it to wait for 3 months. I can't do it now, I need 3 months. So he said to him, 3 months? Every day, people are being murdered. Klal Yisrael, Jewish blood is being spilled. What do you mean, 3 months? Upon which the Shach answered, I need 3 more months to finish my sefer, the Pirish of the Shach, on Shulchan Aruch. Until that happens, I cannot give up my life. After 3 months, indeed, he completed his great magnum opus, his work, the Shach, on the Shulchan Aruch, and as history tells us, he died, as we know, at a very young age. So did Rav Shimshon Astropolia, and the Gezeiros of Tat V'Tat were immediately nisbatim. End of story. The story is itself remarkable, but the explanation that I saw is even more unbelievable. Because the great Rosh Hashiva, Mr. Zalman Meltzer, asked, what pshat in this story? He needs 3 more months to complete his writings, the Pirush of the Shach, on Shulchan Aruch. How can that possibly be? There was murder going on every day. Members of Klal Yisrael were being killed right, left, and center. Shouldn't he have abandoned his Pirush of the Shach on Shulchan Aruch so that the Gezeira would have ended early? He would have saved so many thousands of Jewish lives that way. Says Rav Yisrael Zalman, the inescapable conclusion of this story is, if the Shach would have ended his writings there and the Gezeira would have been disbanded, it's true, there would have been no more Gezeira of Tat V'Tat, but then there would have been no Shach on the Shulchan Aruch. And Klal Yisrael would have no security. It would seem in the eyes of the Shach that it was worth remaining 2 or 3 more months with the Gezeiros, because that meant that the great Koyach of Tayir Shabal Peh, his magnificent work, the Shach, the great Shach, Shemi Piva Muchai, everybody who learns Shulchan Aruch studies and toils over every single word of the Shach, that ultimately was ensuring the long-term security of Klal Yisrael. So the short-term 3 months with all the tragic consequences, but if that would have meant not completing the Shach, then we would not have had this necessary part of Tayir Shabal Peh to stand us in good stead. And as the Mitzvah taught us, when a shofar is blown strong in the Oshon, in the smoke, in the Eish of Golos, like in the times of the Shachrit, the Torah does not weaken. The Torah gets stronger and stronger. And it is that that in fact ensures our security. That is the lesson that we are being taught. And in the beginning of the Shach, therefore, it was worth pushing off the end of the Gzeirah 3 more months, even though on a short-term basis, Klal Yisrael were in great danger. But at least he secured the long-term security of Klal Yisrael with the Pirush of his Shach. That is the Koyach of Torah Shebaal Peh. I wish you all a very good Shabbos. Yeah.